Welcome to another episode of Level Up Unlimited, episode 8. Today we are a man shy. He's had some things to do, but today with me we have the guy in the podcast group that has the biggest beard, Sean Fryman.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And of course, as always, I'm here, Animosity, Byron, whatever you want to call me. Today we're going to be discussing Final Fantasy 15 and probably touch back a little bit on some of the older Final Fantasy stuff, which Fryman has played, I have not touched. And I guess you want to jump straight into it and kind of tell your history of some Final Fantasy?
Well, I guess I started playing Final Fantasy, probably my first one ever had to be probably Final Fantasy 7. You know, I've got to thank, of course, my buddy Vernon there to get me into it. But a lot of memorable moments, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then went back and played all the other ones, too. Even some of the Game Boys, they always save the world. Great, you know, soundtrack with them all, and always memorable characters with every one of them. Really good, just really good overall franchise that I really enjoy, and they really picked it up, of course, with this new one here. So yeah, we'll be reaching into that one here soon. How did you feel about the beginning experience coming into this Animosity?
Okay, yeah, I've touched on maybe one other one. I don't remember what it was. Can't remember exactly which Final Fantasy I played first, which I was kind of standoffish because I never have played the other ones. But where you purchased it, when we was talking about going to be reviewing it and stuff, I was like, okay, I'll give this a chance. And to be honest, I'd never watched anything about it, never had any hopes for it. But as soon as I got out of that little training area, I didn't, which for me, I had to play because I did have to learn the buttons, but it was like, I don't know how to explain it. I never expected this game to be as good as I really enjoyed it. I loved this game. It was definitely top three of 2016 for me.
That's awesome, man. That's really good to hear. I know that we, I played the demo, you know, when it first came out, and my impression of the demo versus the game was way more different. I almost didn't buy the game because of the demo, how badly portrayed it was. I know there was a lot of fixes and stuff they did, and made the combat way more smoother. But I think if you look at the demo versus now, it was a really big change. It was a good change.
Eric, who I tried to get on today's podcast with us, he said that he just didn't have no reason to buy it. Like, I guess he has probably done the same thing. He had probably played the demo, and to be honest, he probably wrote it off because of the demo. He said after he played the demo, he probably didn't want to play it, so he hadn't played it. That's probably the reason. That's probably kind of knocked a couple people off buying the game.
Right, I agree. I know my my brother, he just like, you know, stick in there and stay with her. You know, he's always a big Final Fantasy advocate as well. And he was like, you know, stay in there, bub, you know, this game is going to be good. You know, and I've seen, you know, he was right. And I'm really glad that I, you know, stuck in there.
And for people who haven't played any of the Final Fantasies that have ever thought about, like, I'll step in and try one out. I think this is a good starting point. I mean, because for me, I didn't know anything. Like, I knew some of the story because I have watched, like, the Final Fantasy movie, and all my buddies, a lot of them talk Final Fantasy, and I've caught up on things. But as, like, actual, like, controls and learning spells and everything, this is a game that's where you should step in, I think. I don't know how you feel about that, but that just seems like they've kind of fix it to where, like it even says on the title screen, for beginners and
yeah Yeah, even, you know, newcomers and, you know, even the people that was there from the beginning, you know, it's a little bit rewarding for everybody. You got, you know, not to mention all the music that was from all the Final Fantasies that was in this one and the soundtracks, which was really awesome. That's why I gave it kind of the soundtrack of the year, because it had all the best soundtracks. Not to mention all those bosses and some of those bosses that were in previous Final Fantasies as well that was in this game.
So the Jigaboos.
Yeah.
If for anybody who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm horrible with remembering names and things in games. And the Chocobos is an animal you can ride in. It kind of looks like an ostrich, but they're called Chocobos. And when we played the game, I kept telling Fryman that I was riding the Jigaboos because I couldn't remember the names.
Yeah. So, you know, definitely no reference there other than just, you know, he was just trying to remember just like a Chocobo's name. So, yeah. If you look at the last name, it is weird. If you're not really sure how it's pronounced, you know, some people may say Chocobo or Chaka, you know, or... But yeah, that's how Animosity here reminded itself to say, and I thought that was pretty hilarious. But,
Go ahead. Oh, the developers of this is Square Enix, right?
Square Enix, yeah.
Yeah, Enix. What do you want to touch on first? Do we want to go straight into, like, the graphics or the story? Do we want to talk about which one?
Yeah, I think we want to go right into the the story and kind of who we're looking at.
Spoiler alert, if you guys want to do play this. I mean, we won't touch on everything about this, but we will touch on things that may be something you don't want to look into or hear right now.
Right. So, we're going to go ahead and step right into the characters that's actually in the game. First, the main character, his name is Noctis Lucius Callium. He's pretty much the crown prince of Lucius, which is where he resides at, him and his father. He's the sole playable character, and his fiance, which is the one he's always chasing the game, or the one that he's, I guess, knew ever since he was little, or supposed to wed since he was little, was Luna Freya Nox Fleuret. She's basically the oracle and former princess of Tenebrae. You want to go ahead and maybe talk about the other ones? Animosity?
Okay, we'll talk about what they, like, Gladius. I can't say his last name.
Yeah, Gladius is fine.
It's actually Noctis' bodyguard. I don't know. It didn't really say how long he's been his bodyguard or anything in the game.
Right.
From what I took, it has been for a very long time.
Yep.
And then you got Ignis. Can you say how you pronounce that last name?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, remember these names are, you know, these names are kind of hard for us to pronounce because, you know, they're made by, you know, Japanese developers and stuff, but yeah, they're really, really thought out. But yeah, Ignis, what you were saying, Animosity?
He was trying to figure out what he actually was. He was just a Noctis advisor.
Right.
I mean, that's the best way to put it. And then there's Prompto. He is a friend of Noctis from a lower social class.
Yeah. He's
basically, I don't know, like, another thing, you don't know how long they've been friends.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't, you'll see now, in this game, you'll see, like, clips of when Noctis was young, but it doesn't really show Noctis with them when they were young. We basically just known that these are basically friends slash bodyguard slash advisor with Noctis now, and they kind of just leave the area with the, what is that, Insomnia? Is that the main crown city?
Yeah.
From his father. But yeah, Prompto's kind of like the guy that likes to have fun. He's always taking pictures with cameras and whatnot. And then
he's the cut up of the crew.
Yeah, he's definitely the cut up. And then you got Ignis. You know, he's always the keeping everybody in line, the kind of like the tactician. He's the cook. Always, he's a, which is one of the skills that we'll talk about into later on. And what'd you say, Gladius he's was?
Not, he's the survivalist, the bodyguard. He's not just a bodyguard, but like a Ignis, he kind of puts you in mind on you. When I thought of him, I thought of more of like the scientist personality, like he was really intelligent.
Really?
And, yeah, and so that's where I, how I felt with him. And Prompto was the cut up, and Gladius was the straight, serious, most of the time, bodyguard. Like,
right.
He was always pointing you, wanting to go to missions and stuff. I don't know if you've noticed that. Like, he would always be like, we need to get on our way or something like that.
Yeah, he's pretty much kept, you know, he just like, Ignis kind of kept him in the right direction of trying to, you know, keep him right, in the right path. But yeah, you'll see all kinds of characters, not just them. You know, you got other ones that you'll meet along the way. No spoilers there, though. You'll need to find out to play the game. You'll see that the Chancellor you'll meet often in the game, and then you have mercenaries that you'll actually join their party, or they'll join your party to do like certain missions in the game. And of course, you see your father a few times as well in the beginning and towards his history as well, which is pretty good.
Which, do you remember the dog's name?
The dog is Umbra. Yeah.
Umbra. Which Umbra is kind of how you get your flashbacks in the story.
Right.
That I got. I mean, that's where you get most of your flashbacks. And you kind of see him, and you get your flashbacks to you and Luna, which I just call her Luna Freya.
Yeah, Luna.
So, that's that. And which I don't want to say too much more about the story without giving
right.
a lot away, which...
Basically, how it starts out, he's right there at the front of the castle, and his father is letting him to knows that he's got this important journey / mission that he's got to go do, which is basically him to go and gather all the royal arms, or not royal arm. I don't think it's been announced yet, but that's later on. But that's pretty much what you got to do. His father knows that basically this is happening. But at the same time, he don't want to tell him what's happening. But you'll actually see that though in the game. No spoilers again. It's just too good. I don't want to really tell much more on that. But that's pretty much like the plot and I guess the synopsis about that. You want to go ahead and jump into the gameplay, Animosity?
Well, before we do that, I was gonna talk. Like I did read that. I guess the people behind the story and stuff had created this world to be based on like reality within, like seem more like Earth, like very similar to Earth.
Right.
That over time introduces elements and unnormal settings that you see in Final Fantasy worlds. It's like Final Fantasy coming to Earth, basically. You're in the Earth setting.
Yeah.
What it feels like.
Yeah.
What going for.
And you actually, I mean, we'll kind of touch on that in the graphics, you know, the daylight and night and how Earth-like everything looks and stuff. But, I mean, as far as gameplay, though, how did it actually feel to you?
Gameplay was good. Only, I had some problems with camera sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you run into certain creatures in like a wooded area,
mm-hmm.
you would end up all you see in is like the bars of health, really, and you just kind of memorize your attacks and kind of got to go from what your memory is. And but that's my only downfall with the gameplay, because I love the combat. I love, well, I won't talk about it right now, but the skills, like some of the skills,
mm-hmm.
how you dealt with some of the skills in it, and the all the other little things we'll touch on to sooner, which I know in our notes here we didn't talk about, the regalia.
Oh yeah.
Which
it
regalia.
Which,
guitar.
Yeah.
Which we won't give spoilers on either. There's little tidbits about it that can be really interesting. Which I didn't drive it much. You can choose to fast travel, which you can't travel at night unless you drive yourself. Right?
Yeah, I think, though, eventually, if you get real good in with Ignis, he'll drive at night for you. I noticed that there towards the end, he started driving more at night, and then as the game progresses, you'll actually get pieces for your vehicle to let you do certain stuff like drive more at night with no worries. But yeah, if you want, go explain why you can't drive at night, Animosity?
That is like, I guess, how would I say it? The bigger, badder creatures are more frequent. Like, you have more encounters with creatures and probably the more dangerous creatures.
Right. You see a lot of demons that come out at night, and they just, anywhere from the old school flame that you saw in Final Fantasy, blobs, to the,
samurai guys, I can't remember what they're called.
The giants, yeah. The iron giants and then the red giants, yeah. You see those often, and that takes, if you run into them, you know, lower level, I mean, they're going to destroy you, so you have to be careful at night, for sure.
I think the Imperials, that's the only thing you really don't see at night. Imperials, you only see during the day, right?
Well, I've run into some at night, though. They will be like, they'll be on the middle of the road waiting for you. They won't, like, you won't see a lot of them come down, like, you know, like you're saying during the day, but a lot of times, if you're driving, they'll be, like, right in the road blocking your way, and you have to stop and you gotta fight them.
Kind of like a roadblock, gotcha.
Yeah, they're blocking your way, which the reason why, spoiler alert, after you leave, don't want to go too much story, but basically, they're chasing you and looking for you. So that's the reason why they're roadblocks looking for you. We won't tell you why, but, you need to play the game to find out. How did you feel about the actual magic in the game, Animosity?
Oh, I love the magic. It was unique to itself. And should we tell them where they should kind of slow down on the main missions?
Yeah, that's a big thing, yeah. Guys, main missions to side missions ratio is definitely not balanced in this game. You can probably do the main missions pretty quick, whereas the side missions is, I think the last time I looked, I had over 8. Yeah, I've done over 80 now. For example, you'll get to like chapter 6 or chapter 7, you'll do like one thing and that ends a mission for your main story and you go on to the next chapter. So, my opinions on that's kind of eh. I wish there was a little bit more. But we'll kind of go into that, I guess, towards the overall.
Which what I was going to talk about is, give a heads up if you're wanting to play these side missions and learn these, like, get to know these characters better and stuff. Stop at about chapter 8. Don't hit chapter 9. Because once you hit chapter 9, it basically forces you to play the rest of the main missions out.
Right.
But you can come back and play. But if you're wanting to be a higher... Like, I beat the game at level 41 because I ended up going into these main missions trying to open up more of the world. And I ended up doing chapter, like, 9, and then you're just stuck doing it.
Right.
And you have to finish the game before you can come back and do any of the side missions, which I'm sure there's ways you can go about it, but it's harder to travel, a lot more headache because they take your regalia.
Right.
So you just kind of want to go ahead and push through. But like you were saying, the magic, I liked the magic. The crafting and the magic and stuff like that you gotta do, which we did learn a little bit about that before we even started this.
What was your dislike with the magic?
Well, just going in and like having to craft, like being in a battle and kind of having to back out, go into the screen or whatever, and craft it and set it up, and you can only put so many on.
Right.
And you use them, and then you got to go back. It's like if you are facing in a, one of the dungeons with like some of the stronger ones, it seemed like you would have to back off and keep going and crafting magic to kind of help you out. If you, like where I was, the lower level, I had to use a lot of magic. I'd have to back off a lot.
How did you feel about the magic when it was used in a party?
Oh, it was really good. I really enjoyed the way it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something else we can talk about. I don't even think you have it on there. Like the group,
that's kind of commands. Yeah, that's kind of like skills, kind of. But yeah, the magic, one thing that I didn't like about the magic, by default, if you're in it, you hit everybody in your party if they're near your magic when they cast it.
I forgot about that. And it hits you, too.
Yeah, it hits you. But, you know, there is a way around that, but, you know, you got to have that DLC ring that will allow you to only hit the monsters, but, you know, that's kind of pay to win. But I didn't use the magic a lot, personally.
Because the combat better.
Just like, you know, Animosity is saying, I prefer the combat because of that variation of magic. You hit yourself, which makes sense logically. But, you know, why you want to use it if it hits you as well, you know? Or it's, you know, crowd controls you and your guys makes them slow. Lightning, so, frost, you know, you're slow. It's
Then you hit your own guys, and then you end up having to use your own potions
to heal them. Back. Right.
Because they don't get potions. Like, Gladius can use potions on his own, but the other two, you have to heal yourself.
They do get AP skills that does first aid themselves. But yeah, it's like you're saying, it's not as strong. Yeah. How did you feel about the actual summons, like the in the game? Did you like that portion, or you think they needed more of it, or?
Like, to me, it seemed like enough summons and stuff for me, which I never played any of the other ones. Like, this could have been so much less compared to other games, and people might be used to more, but to me, I felt like it was enough, because where I am new, which, it didn't have any, like, easy, normal, or hard, did it?
No, there was no difficulty change on the game, but that's where the difficulty level increase comes in at, I think.
Right. But it's like, if for somebody who runs into the wrong territory at the wrong time on a low level, you could be in trouble. I think I ended up beating the game without dying a single time.
That's really good, because I can't say that. I think... I was in a little area where those little tiger-looking things called corals, and when you hit them the wrong way, they automatically kill you, and my two party members were dead, and it was like a level 10 quest, but they were like 30, and I wasn't about to run away from them, so when you hit them and they was healing, it automatically kills you, so yeah, little spoiler alert, definitely be careful when you go around those little tiger guys.
The AP system, I know it's their own next to talk about, which I never had, like, another thing. I never had a system like this. It's pretty much a basic skill tree and how you're building your characters, basically.
Right.
But when you go in not knowing certain things for these characters and how Final Fantasy plays out, I'm sure I made some bad decisions.
Yeah, I mean, what I like about it is, like, yeah, if you do make a mistake, that's fine, because you can eventually unlock everything.
Right.
I know there's some that costs way a lot, like, probably take you maybe a day or two of solid, you know, playing just to get it, you know, and then there's some that takes, like, AP to get. And you get these AP by doing, like you were saying earlier, the link-up skills that you were talking about, Animosity, right. Which is when you combine, like, say, Gladius and and say Noctis or Proptis skills together, and they do a combo attack, and it's like, say, for example, Gravis Spear, you know, where it'll pull the monsters together, or something like where Ignis would heal the whole party, and it would use like two segments out of three to, and that, you know, and that fills up automatically by taking damage typically, or giving out damage. But yeah, you, when you end a fight with that, typically it give you like an AP or two, and then, you know, it, and then same thing when you camp as well. So it's kind of a little bit grindy to get the AP. Leveling is good, but you gotta, you probably definitely want to get those AP boosters in the beginning whenever you start out. Just a little wisdom there for you.
Which, with the camping, you mentioned that, it's kind of a good segue into our next thing. The camping is basically sponsored by Coleman.
Yeah, Coleman Lantern, yes.
Because everything you look at, the tents, the chairs, I don't know why I brought that up, but that was just kind of a fun little thing I've seen.
It really is.
You can go to these designated areas to where you can camp, which also kind of brings into skills, because you get to choose a food Ignis can make to give you health boost, XP boost,
magic boost, defense, everything, you know, any stat. It
depends on what, any stat that you can think of. There's some kind of food. If you unlock them, which unlocking them is, some of them's easy, some of them's a little tougher, by going to certain restaurants, picking up, they're buying certain foods. That's right. How you get them in your inventory to do, but you also have to have the ingredients.
Right.
And that's not the only thing. You can stay there overnight to save the game and go into the day to stay all the night area. Or you can train, which training is, you gain AP by that too, right?
Yeah, you train, you do the one-time train, and then for each one, for each level, and then after you do that, I don't think you can do it anymore, but you can do the upgraded one. And going back to what you were saying, how did you feel about the camp to get your actual experience on that animosity?
The camp, it only gave you like a, just a regular XP, right?
Right.
It was regular XP. But if you go to certain areas, like there's RVs, there's hotels, each one of them has a different XP boost for staying overnight.
Right.
And then sometimes you got little side, like, encounters, is I guess the best way to put it, with your group members.
Yeah, they're called tours, yeah.
Okay, tours. Like, you can get, go fishing with,
Gladius.
Gladius, or you can
take pictures with Promptos.
Yeah, take pictures with Prompto, and which is, gives you AP also if you start do certain parts of the tours.
Right.
And it's only at certain points in the game. Which we have food next. Should we talk about skills then go to food?
I think it's kind of all coming down a mixture, but yeah. Like with the benefit with staying in the hotel versus the camp is that the hotel is going to give you a better XP boost, like times one or times two. Whereas camping, you don't get the XP boost, but you can make food, which will give you above for the day, which you can also increase later on with AP for the duration. So it's got its benefits on both sides. You want to, you know, definitely do both. You know, when you're out fighting monsters, you know, and you wanna, and you ain't got a buff, you know, you definitely want to try to camp, and then, you know, it'll go into the next day. And then at the end of your day, you want to go to, like, a hotel or something.
Right. Which the skills, each member in the group has unique skills.
Mm-hmm.
Ignis is cooking, like food. Which we've talked a little bit about it. There's, you find them through the map and gotta have the ingredients, you fix them at camp. You don't get that option at the hotels and stuff, but you do can stop at restaurants too, I guess, and pick up his
inventory or the recipes. Yeah.
And then you got Prompto, which his is photography.
Mm-hmm.
And which this helps them in their levels and the way they... Does that help them unlock their links and stuff?
Well, for Promptos, the only thing it does differently for him is that it unlocks different filters. So when you take pictures... With the first time it's just a plain Jane picture, eventually Promptos gets so good with taking pictures, he unlocks different filters. So when you actually get a nice picture near the sun, it actually looks really good, versus then getting a big glare in it at level one. So basically the picture portion for Promptos is purely just cosmetic. It don't really give him any kind of boost or anything as far as the combat, anything, but there is a combat, I think, animosity for...
Yeah, for, snapshot.
Yeah, snapshot for Promptos, which allows him basically just to take more pictures during combat, which actually levels up his photography faster.
And Gladius, he is under survival, which I guess you level him up. It says by walking and finding stuff, right?
Yeah, traveling different locations, getting different, different items, fighting different monsters, just basically just, he's kind of like a mixture of discovery versus just fighting, survival kind of, I guess you would say, guy.
Yeah, which, now getting to my favorite skill, was Nox, fishing. The fishing in this game was... I don't know how you felt about it, but I really enjoyed the fishing because you had to have the lures, you had to actually get better rods and reels and line and stuff like that, and there's actually rare fish you can catch, and like to see if you have a record on, not on your friends list, just see if you can catch a bigger bluegill than you got caught before or whatever, and that actually helps you with Ignis because whatever fish you catch is part of the meals he makes.
Right, and then some are edible, and then some are not. Some are like lunkers, big fish. Some are for side quests. Didn't you say, Adam, also that you was like fishing one time and was on, like had a fish for like a good 30 minutes and still didn't get it?
Yeah, it was about 30 minutes, and I still didn't get it. I can't remember what it was because my line broke and it took my lure, so I had to leave, which I think I went back and I tried again, which I didn't mean to cast out and get him the second time, so it broke my line quicker because I had a weaker test line and I kind of knew it was about to happen. But that's really interesting on how they put the fishing into it, because I've seen other games that are like Minecraft. I don't know if you throw out your pole and the bobber dips and you get R trigger and you got a fish. It's not that. It is not that. It is actually in a battle. Like, that you got to worry about the tension. You got to know when to reel. There's a lot to that.
Yeah, there's actually, up in it, you can't just reel it in by no means because, like Animalister was saying, your line, it actually has a health bar, which is basically the tension on it, and if you pull on it while it's actually telling you not to, it's going to reduce the health on that line, and actually, will break, so it can be pretty tough, definitely.
Oh, yeah, and you go through quite a bit of line after, like, because every fish will do some damage to it, like, because... It'll go left and you're reeling right, and then you have to try to switch real quick, and they'll switch right, and it's just back and forth with them. It's a battle.
Yep. Essentially, it's a battle. Definitely, I'm really glad they put that in the game. I can't recall of them doing that before that I can remember. I know on Final Fantasy VII, they had something where you would dig in dirt and look for something, guess where treasure was at, but this one, I don't remember them being a fishing portion, but yeah, it's really good. I'm really glad to see that. You know, they're putting different stuff like that in the game. All these skills.
Okay. We've talked basically what we could about the whole game, except, like, graphics. Like, the graphics, what did you think of them?
The graphics, going back to what you were saying, how earthly looking, I mean, it looked like, when you got into Hammerhead, that looked like something out of Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, it was really, really rocky looking, really beautiful sunsetting. Yeah, you can see it actually come over. You can actually see the different times. It'll give you the times of the day that it is, and it's just really beautiful. And it just, it's open world. I mean, it's huge. I mean, this game, it's... I mean, if you walked everywhere, it would take you a long time. But I was really happy with the direction they went on the graphics of this game. I was really surprised they was able to make this game open world with the graphics that you know that it has.
Yeah, the graphics were amazing. I mean, if I can't remember if I put this as my best graphics of the year, but I know it was maybe one or two. Because maybe Forza was the only one I could think of that might have been better just because what they done. But this was probably definitely one or two of graphics of the year. Everything looks great in this game. And it was actually fun. Like when you got to the camp and it showed prompt those pictures, you just didn't exit out of them. You actually looked at them.
Yeah.
I don't know if you did, but I did.
I looked at the food. The food, when he put the food in the bowl. And you know the food that he cooked, it looks like a real bowl of food. And I'm just like, man, that I'm hungry, you know, because it looks so real.
Which there's YouTube channels now, like you can find on YouTube. People are actually starting to make a lot of these Final Fantasy foods, which they're replacing some ingredients. They're not going to use chocobo meat in a sandwich. Because there's no such thing as a chocobo.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they use probably ham or turkey, but they actually go, there's YouTube channels how to make certain, some of these foods, which there is one food in this game that, it I guess, is a real food, and it's the, like, the cup of noodles.
Yeah.
Like, which I was excited to see the cup of noodles truck. I took a picture of it, a screenshot.
Yeah, it was awesome, because... And then you got this character, Gladios, he's like crazy for noodles, and then you do a mission with him, and he's just like, oh, man. You know, he nerds it hard for it, so.
It's about like me, it's one of my favorite foods is the cup of noodles. And when he was freaking out, I was like, yes.
Perfect.
Before we go to the other thing here, I forgot to ask you, who is your favorite of the group? Like, not because you're playing as him, but as
right.
I guess your backup guy, who is your favorite?
Going through the whole story and everything, you know, it's pretty hard for me, but I have to either say either Ignis or Gladius. And the reason why is because all the trials and tribulations they go through, they still stick right there through Noctis and everything.
Right.
I didn't choose Promptos because I thought he was kind of, I had a lot of issues where in the game, as far as combat-wise, he was pretty weak. Still kind of is a little weak, but still is a cool little guy to have around in your party.
Right. Yeah, the more I played it, which at first I didn't like Prompto as a combat character, but as his personality, I kind of like Prompto better, which towards the middle there, I started going more like in Gladius. When he freaked out about the noodles, like you said, I'm all about the noodles. I love noodles. I was like, yeah. Started getting on his better side. Which I kind of felt sorry for Ignis near the end of the game.
Right.
Without saying much. But
that's what made me like him so much, because of that portion, which we're not going to discuss. But you will have a little bit of sympathy for. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about our favorite. Well, we'll talk about the music and our favorite track.
Music overall, I mean, there is all kinds of music in this game. You know, anywhere from Final Fantasy II to some that I don't even recall. Dissia, and I never played that. And there's This every soundtrack is on this game that I can recall.
But you can buy an MP3 player in game to play certain songs you want to as you're battling.
Yeah, so you listen to this either in your regalia, or you can buy an MP3 player and actually listen to this music, any soundtrack, any song, while you're walking around doing combat stuff. So it's really awesome. I'm really happy what they did with the music overall.
Yeah, the soundtrack, which I know for a fact that I haven't heard every song on there.
No.
I mean, because, like, you showed me the track that you like the most, and I hadn't heard it on there.
Yeah.
And it's, you go through, and sometimes there's songs that can catch you, and you're just like, I don't want to get out of the regalia yet. If I don't have my MP3 player yet, I don't want to finish this song. Let's drive around more.
Yeah.
Because the soundtrack was excellent. I'm sure from people who listen to the year end, they can tell by me picking Doom, I am a big metal fan. And of course, my track that I picked for this was more metal and had a bunch of guitar in it. And I really enjoyed it. And it was called Gone. And Fryman's going to play a little sample from it and let you guys hear it. And that right there would probably be best we can give without going too far into it. And Fryman's going to now tell you his and why he likes his. And then he'll give you a sample of his.
Alright, so I played Final Fantasy for a long time. And of course, the first thing I went to was Final Fantasy VII soundtrack. So one that really hit home for me was, of course, the Cosmo Canyon song, While You're in Cosmo Canyon on Final Fantasy VII. So that was the one that I chose, and if you guys are not familiar, you know what that is. I'm gonna go ahead and play that for you right now. So yeah, it's just kind of simple, simpler time back then. So yeah, that I think it was like 90. Yeah, it was really sentimental to me for sure. But yeah, that's kind of, that's probably my fave on that one overall. Of course, there's always good tracks. Even the one that Animosity was showing me, I never even heard of it, and I listened to it, and I thought that was pretty awesome. Just like he's never heard of mine. And, yeah, just like you won't hear, you can go through them all, but there's just so many. So, yeah.
Which, we're nearing the end of the Final Fantasy talk, but we do have a couple of things we're going to talk about towards Final Fantasy, which this year, 2017, is marks the 30-year anniversary of Final Fantasy, right? When did it start? Trying to figure out the month here of when all the Final Fantasy started.
History of Final Fantasy. I think it might have started.
It was 87, but I just don't know what month that they did the first release. But this is the 30-year anniversary, 2017. Yeah. Which, do you want to talk about the carnival?
I know they're going to be doing a little event, for Final Fantasy. I'm not, especially, excited for it, but they're going to be doing a little event, what is it called? The Carnival Chocobo event, on 6 days, on the 24th, it's basically you get a Chocobo tee and a Chocobo hat, and, and you decorate the town of Altissa, and balloons everywhere. It's like a little carnival, and that's pretty much all I got from it. I don't know if they're going to add any more stuff, but I just
chocobo races and chocobo battles. Let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope there's some kind of combat stuff in it, you know, hopefully just not cosmetic, but yeah, I guess we'll see how it goes.
And let's talk about, which I haven't watched anything on it at all. Like, but you were talking about Final Fantasy VII, Ben, the one that you start from your favorite song and everything. They're doing a remake, right?
Yeah, they're currently working on the Final Fantasy VII remake. I don't know, the last update that I see on it was they're going to release it holidays 2017. That's more likely going to be probably the fourth quarter of this year for the release, and I know that PS4 is 100% for sure getting it, and then there was talks about Xbox One maybe later on. But as far as gameplay, it looks like it may be a replica possibly of 15's combat. You know, that's kind of, that would be awesome. But we're not 100% sure if that's going to be something set in stone. So that's what we're, that's what I'm getting hyped for, Because if it is, it's going to be pretty awesome. I'm sure Byron and Amasa here can say the same.
Before I played Final Fantasy 15, you could have been like, oh, they're making Final Fantasy 7 remake. I'd be like, okay, I'll probably watch somebody stream that. But now, you're looking at, I'm probably going to be playing it. I will play it, and I'll probably dig deep into it, just like I did this one, which I'm excited. We don't know anything yet about any of the DLCs for this, but Fryman did purchase the DLCs, the whole, was it called a season pass or whatever?
Right.
And he's got everything for it. So we're just waiting for him to announce something for us, but who knows? I don't even know if they got a list of anything.
Well, I know they said they're going to, definitely give us another character for sure, and then talks about maybe expanding maybe part of the story. And I think they said they may actually revise a chapter or something, but nothing's been 100% confirmed. We're still just waiting on. I know that they're working on it as we speak, but nothing 100%. Just yet. You know how sometimes they'll tell us something, but they'll change completely with the actual content they bring out. So,
right. Do you want to rate this before we step into the news and things?
This game, overall for me, I got to give it a 4.5. It's almost perfect for me, and the reason why I say that is because we haven't really had a good Final Fantasy in a long time. I think the last good one for me probably was maybe 12. You can't really count the MMOs. That's a entirely different format of a game, but yeah, that's still a really good game, as far as 14. But, 13 was it was
too. There's something unique about this game. It's say, you talk to someone and you're like, what's your favorite Final Fantasy? It's never the same between one person to another.
Right.
It's like, with you said, what, 12? Most people talk about 7, this one and that one.
Right.
You never hear the same remark over and over and over.
Right.
Everybody always has something different, an opinion. Which everybody has a different opinion. It's just Final Fantasy is such a broad thing that everybody's got a different one.
Right. Different opinion about it, absolutely. And that's what makes this game special alone, because like you were saying, it brings back those old, people that played, the older people that played the older Final Fantasy games, years ago, and then the newcomers like you jumping in to try this new game. So it's a good time to jump into Final Fantasy, guys, and if you want to go try out the old ones, definitely I would, urge you to. Even if ones that you may not see, hear that are good, definitely try them out. You may be like me where you may love the game, whereas some may not. So it's definitely try them out.
But it is definitely worth a try. I'm not going to say, hey, I'm promising you all that it's going to be your favorite Final Fantasy or anything. But I can say it is because it's my only one I've played. But yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I mean, I'm not going to guarantee that, but it's worth giving it a shot if you are in Final Fantasy. But if you're new and you're wanting to try out one, it's the one I think you should step into to try. And I'm going to be right along with Fryman. I would almost give this a 5, but what I'm waiting on is to see how the DLCs come out and what kind, and it could end up being a 5 by the end of the year, which it won't make next year's end of the year, because maybe DLC stuff, but not the main game.
Right.
But before we get to, we've rated it now, both 4.5. Dave gave it 5. He just texted me, said 5.
Damn Dirty Dave.
Damn Dirty Dave. Hope you get better. Let's talk to you in a minute when you get home anyway. Before we get into the news, I have a surprise question for you, Fryman.
Okay.
What is your thoughts on The Division now that you've got to play it? It was my game of the year, and we bought it, and we've been running through it. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on it.
Now, this was definitely a good choice. I know you said that this was the game of the year for you, and I've actually got out and tried it. We actually got the good sale on it. And this game, I've sunk a lot of hours in already. And, you know, even after level 30 hitting max level, you know, I'm still grinding for good gears. It's a loot crazy game. It took a lot of stuff from Diablo. Got a great story that you can play with others. You know, it doesn't really seclude you in just doing it by yourself. You can just jump in and just go. It's a great game for a good game, get and go. You know, especially if you work like me and you would just want to come home and just grind out, you know, the dark zone areas and, you know, and take down some foos.
But Dave, he hated this game. When he first purchased this game, he hated it. But we made him re-download and play with us. This is a game that I feel that you need to be a buddy system gamer.
Right.
Because, like, you can find randoms to play with, but it is so much better to play with buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, which I did play quite a bit by myself. I usually do the side quest and, like, doing some of the little things on the side by myself. And then we get in there, we do the dailies and the dungeons and hit the dark zone, whatever we want to. And we ain't even tried the expansions yet.
Did you see all the little Easter eggs? Like, some of the stuff that were in the game that I noticed? Like, I know that Dave said he found the For Honor poster.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. It actually shows For Honor and then, like, The Samurai, which is an upcoming game that's coming out in the future. And then I
got a little news on it.
And then, I don't know, maybe I kind of looked into this too much, but there was this guy that was on this car that had a baseball bat with nailed on his forehead that was, like, basically stuck in his head. And, you know, you can tell. To me, I thought that was, like, a Walking Dead reference.
And they mentioned something in the game. It's like a... They give, like, these little small references to other video games, movies, TV. There's one point, it's like, it's harder to kill them than a swarm of locusts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually one of the quotes in one of the missions that you do. Yeah, locusts from Gears of War.
And then another safe house, there's, you probably haven't played it, but I played it. It's a little, I don't even know what you call it kind of game it is. There's a poster on the back wall of Grow Home. It's like you... grow, plants grow or something, and you've got to climb to your spaceship. I don't know. I never did finish the game.
Mm.
But it's actually throws that in there, too.
Right.
A poster of it. It's a little red robot. You've probably seen it.
Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff, man. You know, and you'll see a lot of, man, there's some dark stuff in this game. Really dark stuff in that game. But yeah, I would urge all you guys to check all that out. You know, definitely Animosity was right about that. You definitely want to check that out. That's Tom Clancy's The Division.
Not The Siege.
Not The Siege. Which The Siege is a good game from what I hear as yeah. well, but yeah. we might be checking that later on as a game, so.
Okay, let's
going into our news.
Over. Yep.
Yep, boom.
That was my little one that's kind of funny. We recorded that. the news that I have over here on the on Injustice, they actually gave a Injustice 2. They gave it a release date, and it's May 16th. As far as of right now, which who knows, it could be pushed. Can't ever tell.
Okay.
But it's got May 16th as of right now as for release date. Resident Evil 7 is going to be cross-buy, and for which, if people don't understand what cross-buy is, it's basically for Xbox One and PC. It's like if you buy it on Xbox One, you also own it on Xbox. Wait, did I say that backwards? No. Xbox, you buy it on Xbox, you get it on PC.
Yeah.
You buy it on PC, you get it on Xbox. PlayStation, you don't have that capability because they're not the same, I guess. Same thing. And then For Honor, which we was talking about a second ago, For Honor is the developers or whatever have came out and said they are not going to be charging for DLC. And the reason why is to keep the community together. It's not splitting the community. If you ever played games, it's like, okay, we'll take, for example, Call of Duty. You get, okay, the first map pack expansion comes out, whatever you want to call it, comes out. That splits the community. You got all these people who have season pass that's now over on these new maps, and you have these people that don't like buying all these DLCs that's stuck on all these old maps and can't play these other people.
Yep, that's right.
Which, that is a really good concept. I really like that idea that they are doing that to keep everybody together.
That's awesome.
Which, we are going to be reviewing that for sure.
Yes, sir.
And I let Fryman talk about some of his news.
Alright, so we got E3 date has been announced, guys. It's going to be June 13th through the 15th, of course, this year. During that time, though, we're going to be trying to do a special episode around that time. Probably, really depends, maybe what's being, what we're playing. We may try to do a Twitch episode or a YouTube episode. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we have been hitting on Twitch quite a bit. Me and Dave, which Dave has been playing, and I've just been in there to kind of shoot the shit.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of a way to keep it in touch with our listeners. If y'all want to, it's Level Up Unlimited. I think that's it. Yeah, Level Up Unlimited. Just go over and follow us. It's pretty fun.
Oh, yeah. Also, we got Sea of Thieves Alpha this weekend, guys. Make sure to check your email for more information from Rare. Now, keep in mind, this is like the biggest alpha ever. It's only for 3 hours on Saturday. But they did say that if you got on with this one, you're pretty much on for every beta and alpha going forward. So definitely give them your feedback, guys. You know, they're leaving it up to us to give them the most information how they can improve this game. And they're all pretty good guys. The devs are. You know, I've talked to them in chat there on the Insider app, and they really want your feedback. So definitely let them know if you got that invite.
And if you didn't get it, that's not saying that you won't get it next time either. That's just, there's like a 50-50 chance that you would be a part of it, which me and Dave was not.
Right.
Fryman is, but I'll be playing on Fryman's.
Yeah, we game share. Yeah, so he can just jump in mine and boom, he can give feedback on it as well. I won't be playing, but he'll probably will if he gets a chance to. And
yeah,
we'll look at the actual. We could probably go in and look at the actual GUI on it right now if we wanted to see how it looks going into it. But yeah, we'll kind of keep you posted on that, guys. I guess we'll jump into the Mass Effect here. For the sign up right now, also there's another beta going on in the future for Mass Effect Andromeda beta. But definitely, you probably want to sit back and in a comfortable area because there's a lot of questions they have to ask for people that's wanting to do this beta. So,
yeah.
So definitely be prepared to answer a lot of questions.
Yeah, which they actually, I guess that's their way of being like, is this person going to give me the feedback or not
right,
that I need? Instead of just going in there and clicking and saying, oh, I want the beta. I just want the beta.
Right. They want people beta testing, that's for sure.
Which, let's talk about, which this is about a week old, I guess, but we didn't. I forgot about this one. We'll keep that one to the last, Fryman.
Right.
Scalebound is what I'm going into.
Right.
Scalebound has been canceled, which it was an Xbox One exclusive.
Sad. And so sad.
I think one of the developers tweeted out and said, fuck you guys. No, he didn't. He just tweeted out saying that he's really sad that it all has come to an end with that game, but there will be more focus on their other games.
Right.
Which is just sucks to see any game, even if it's not this big corporate game like Activision or stuff like that, I still like seeing these other games that come out that you really don't expect, that could be sleepers. Like it, like I've never heard of Scalebound until I seen it got canceled, and I went back and I actually paid a little attention and looked at some YouTube videos and stuff about it, and I was like, wow, like why'd they cancel that? I'd love to play that.
Right. It looked really good, and there was a lot of hype for it during E3 as well, and then they, you know, they do that. You know, that's, it's definitely a bummer when that happened, guys, and I'm sure there was probably a lot out there I was looking forward to it. I know I was talking to people at work, and they were asking, you know, what does Xbox have left, you know, and I'm just like, you know, I understand, you know, I'm, you know, what can you do?
And let's get to your big news of the week.
All right, guys, this is for Xbox One, okay? So, Path of Exile is coming to Xbox One.
This year.
Let that sink in. It is coming to Xbox One. And if you guys are not familiar with Path of Exile, it's basically like, sort of like, like Diablo. It's really skill-based, you know, overhead view, kind of Diablo style. You know, you got loot. It's loot heavy. Legendaries, rares, you know, you name it. And it's multiplayer, of course. You play with your buddies.
Yep.
They're also going to be, when this game is released now, they will, Xbox One will be getting all 5 expansions.
Hold on a second. We're going to try to add in Dave here to just see if he's wanting to be like, hey, buddy.
Oh, right. Yeah, we'll get him in the plug. But yeah.
The plugs. But, go ahead.
Yeah, this one will be actually containing all previous expansions and the new content. Xbox One be right there with PC basically, and you know, yes, it's free. It is free to play, and it's never going to be pay to win. That's also a great feature I love and enjoy. It's a dark and deep action RPG style. It's a limited character combinations. You can buy in gems, skills to create unique, you know, strategies and all kinds of good stuff.
Which, like I was saying. When you first said it, you said free to play. I thought you meant, oh, you buy the game and you get to play it free. Because some games you buy them, you play online with people, or it's pay to play online. I thought you was like, oh, it's free to play online. That's what I basically thought you meant. When I actually found out it was 100% totally free,
yeah,
it made it even better. It's like, oh God.
Yeah, that's actually called buy to play. Is when you like buy a game, you know, like regular game, and then no subscription. Whereas this game is actually completely, you know, pay to win. And oh, look, we got damn dirty Dave in here.
Hey, I come in right in the middle of the podcast.
Yep, but that's that right towards the end. But you got any news? Wait, we're talking about Paths of Exile. Hold on.
And that's pretty much it on the Path of Exile, guys. But yeah, definitely look forward to that coming out. What do you got for us there, damn dirty Dave?
I got that I will be getting my key for my beta for Friday 13th tomorrow.
Oh, shizzle!
So watch out on stream.
Yeah, I will be streaming probably for the next 72 days. So.
Is there gonna be an NDA on that, or is it gonna be open stream where you can stream that and no NDA?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can stream that. I've been watching everybody else stream it.
Oh, that's awesome! So yeah, definitely check us out, guys. Level Up Unlimited on Twitch. We got Damn Dirty Dave going to be give us the first little bit on the Friday 13th game. It's awesome.
And he didn't get his Sea of Thieves either. Yeah, we didn't know if you'd be interested in talking about Final Fantasy, so we went ahead and talked Final Fantasy. You come right in at the right time. You got to talk news with us.
Perfect.
Can you think of any other little things you wanted to say?
Any other little things? Another little piece of news I seen where the creator of Doom signed on to make 2 more games, and they said that one should be released late 2018 or early 2019, and they're saying that the next shouldn't take that long, so look for 2 more Doom games coming up pretty quick.
Awesome.
And that's it, boys.
That's awesome.
Better late than never.
There's your, you know, some more soundtracks for you, Animosity. Yeah.
More soundtracks. I hope they get the same guy to do that soundtrack. And I kind of want to say, we was going to have Josh on here. We kind of had a mishap last week when he was going to record, and he didn't get to be on here.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay. We'll get him back in here to tell us his thoughts on Dave's beard and why it's awesome. Why his beard's so small.
Why it's so soft. I want to paint it so hard.
You know you can.
Anytime.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody want to see my second mustache?
Oh, God.
Sorry, guys. I'm going to do my little laugh, I guess. Do you have any plugs, Dave? Oh, yeah, I'm sure you do, but do you want to plug anything? Give shout-outs?
No. Oh, I'm super late. Shout out to Mary Breckenridge Hospital. Got me all the time.
Yeah.
That's really it.
You ain't gonna give your Twitter handle or nothing, or?
Everybody already knows it.
Okay, that's cool.
World famous.
Which, he's the one that streams on Twitch most of the time, and I'm just there hanging out because my internet sucks. More news. Got good internet coming, guys.
Yes.
But yeah, he twitches probably roughly right now Monday through Friday. He don't get to do it on the weekends. He has other obligations that he takes.
I'm about to start twitching right now after this.
Okay. But I'm sure if you're listening to this and you hear that, he probably won't be on at that time.
I definitely will.
So just look for us. It's Level Up Unlimited. We have a YouTube, which it'll be a little bit before we get back to the YouTube stuff, which I'm sure will make Dave record some of his Friday 13th stuff, and we'll throw it up on YouTube and just kind of see some of the gameplay and see him teleport as Jason.
Don't be hating.
And then it's at Level Up Unlimited, one word podcast, I think. You can find us. It's just, I think we got it pretty easy where you can find us. Then you can follow me on Twitter, of course, or our page at Unlimited Up. We have our movie podcast, which we'll probably be doing next week. It's Hush, which Dave's been watching The Ark. Wrong movie.
Well, I've seen that three times, so I'm good to go.
So, we'll be doing Hush next week, and you can check us out there. Am I forgetting anything? Giving shout outs to Michael Hensley, MH Show 21, Travis Turry. I was supposed to be a guest on their year end podcast for wrestling at Pro Wrestling Talk or TLK on Twitter, Pro Wrestling TLK. I overslept at 7 o'clock in the evening. No, I overslept.
It happens.
And I'm actually going to be on their next one too. I think I may be on theirs quite a bit. And I'll actually be giving my year end on the Royal Rumble prediction show. And that, I about sent it to Dave Fryman.
Woody _ Fryman on Twitter. And, you know, definitely want to keep thanking Vernon Beckley for the awesome music he's providing us. Dies Ray, if you're interested in the song you hear at the end of the podcast. And definitely shout out to you, bros. You the broskies.
Bro macho.
And definitely to all the listeners out there. You definitely, if you guys got any questions, concerns, anything you want us to ask or address or anything like that, definitely holler at us.
Hit us up on Twitter. And if you want to continue to be followed by us, if you are followed by us, make sure you don't say anything about Cowboys.
Yes. Man. Please stay away from that, guys. It hurts.
That's real bad, Bobby.
Dave will unfollow you
and break your phone.
Okay, guys. Dave, you want to go ahead and jump in the next one, or are you good, Bubby?
Everybody get on Twitter and message DreamWorks and tell them not to remake White Men Can't Jump, because that hurt my heart when I seen that today.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all I want to say.
Ooh.
Hurt my heart.
It's still going to have Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson in it.
If it would, that'd be awesome, but
you know it is.
Rest in peace, hashtag Cowboys Nation.
Cowabunga.
Wait, that's the wrong one. I was trying to get him to say it's time to party or whatever.
Ready party?
Yeah.
Ready party.
Everybody have a good one. We're out.